turn this morning to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter number 27. Matthew 27. We'll be looking at verses 24 through 33 of Matthew 27. And when you've found your place, and if you're able, please stand as we reverence the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 24 through 33. Matthew 27, verse number 24. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull. Lord, I thank you for the day, Lord. Thank you for the blessings that already that we've encountered today, Lord. Lord, you kept us safe through the night, Lord. You woke us up. You didn't take us in the night, but Lord, you let us come another day, Lord. You letting us breathe your air and hearts beating, Lord. I just thank you for being able to come out again and hear your word, and I pray that you'll help me this morning as I preach. Lord, help me to rightly divide the word. Help me to preach in clarity. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm just an empty vessel. But Lord, take the words that will be said, and Lord, use it today and grant understanding. Help somebody this morning. Touch somebody's heart and life. And Lord, I can't do anything, Lord, but you can. And all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning. I pray that you would, Lord, help me to hold back anything that I don't need to say. And Lord, just help me to be sensitive. If there's something that I need to add, help me to add it in the right place. And Lord, most of all, may you just get honor and glory and praise out of everything that's said and done throughout the remainder of the service. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We've looked from time to time on the cross. We preached a series of messages here, I don't know, some months back on the preaching of the cross. And we looked at six or seven different things about the cross. So we've kind of talked about the cross, but Spurgeon had a quote, and I looked for it. I couldn't find it, but basically the gist of it was is you can never preach too much about the cross. You can never overdo it on the cross. And Paul said this in Galatians 6:14. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's all about the cross. If there was ever anything that we don't talk about enough, it's the cross and the things that went on around the cross, not just on the cross, but before it and after the cross. It's all about the cross. And so back in December, I had to look it up. I couldn't remember, but back in December, we looked at the darkness at Calvary and how he, from noon till 3 p.m., when it went dark, he paid our sin debt on the cross. I can't explain it, and I can't understand it, but during that 3 hours, he paid our sin debt on the cross of Calvary from noon to 3 p.m., and we looked at that. And so that was just kind of one thing that popped out at me, but today, another thing that I'm interested in is I'm interested in that crown of thorns. I've kind of been thinking about it all week, and I just couldn't get away from it. But I know as soon as I say the crown of thorns. You're going to get a picture in your head of a long-haired hippie with a beard and one little spot of blood up on each side of his temple, maybe. And I don't want you to think about that, because that's not an accurate depiction of what he went through. But this morning we're going to look at that crown of thorns. And then as we look at that crown of thorns, of course, a crown, not the thorn, but the crown. A crown is something that shows authority. It's something that is a picture of glory. A lot of the kings in the Old Testament, they always wore a crown. And when you saw somebody with a crown, you knew that was a sovereign, somebody that had supreme authority. He could do whatever he wanted to do. But when they gave him a crown of thorns, it was mockery. And they were just mocking him is what they were doing. They said, "Hell, we'll give you this crown of thorns. Since you say that you're the King of Kings, since you say that you're the King of the Jews, we'll give you this crown." So we're going to look at that crown of thorns this morning. And so as we look at the crown, I've got four simple points this morning. We're going to look first of all at the wearer of the crown. And then we're going to look at the weaving of the crown. And then we're going to look at the wounding of the crown. And then we're going to look lastly at the warning. There's a warning in that crown. So four simple things this morning. So in our text, Matthew 27, we see that in verse number 26, they released Barabbas, which he was an insurrectionist. He was a murderer. But they didn't care. They hated Jesus so much. They were willing to let this one go, so that they could just get Jesus off the scene. That's how much they hated him. But it says, "They released he Barabbas unto him, and when he had scourged Jesus." Now that word "scourge" there means, in the Latin, it's flagellum is the name. And that word in the Latin, it means that there were knotted pieces of leather. And what it was a cat of nine tails and knotted pieces of leather on the end. They had probably nine leads, and on the end they had bones, and they had maybe shards of metal. Anything that was sharp, anything that would put a punishment on somebody, they put on the end of that. And they used that on Jesus. It was a means of torture. And they said that they used 39 lashes, and 39, they didn't want to get to 40, they didn't want to miscount. They did 39 lashes times nine leads. And they say that the man that did that was called a lector. And that was his job. I mean, and hopefully if you got a job, it's something that you're good at. He was good at what he did. Every lash was strategically placed. He put it exactly where he wanted to, and then he would rip it back. And they said that those people, those lectors, they were good at what they did. They said, history says that a lot of people died there. That whip would come around and it would just open them up, and they would die there. But Jesus wasn't to die there. And he was there to suffer our pain and our punishment. Psalms 129 verse number 3 says, "The plowers plowed on my back. They made long their furrows." I mean, I can't imagine what he went through. There's no way that we can comprehend that. But they scourged Jesus. After they scourged Jesus, in verse number 27, says they, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers." Now they took him to the common hall, and that was probably where the soldiers lived, where they got together. And it says that there was a band of soldiers there. That word "band" means that probably about 600 were there. And they had a time. They were mocking Jesus and spitting upon him and all that kind of stuff. And you're probably thinking, "Oh, how could they have done that? I can't believe it." Well, if we were there, we'd have been number 601. We'd have been the very next one in line. We'd have done it just like they did. We're that bad. We're depraved. We'd have been right in line doing exactly what they did. So they, in the common hall, they took him to the common hall where 600 men were. And so first of all, we want to look at the wearer of that crown. the wearer. Who did they put the crown on? And of course, in verse number 27, we see that it was Jesus. They took Jesus in there. In verse number 29, and when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and they mocked him. So the wearer of the crown, first of all, his person. Who was he? And to the soldiers, this man was just another criminal. They were soldiers. They weren't trained to ask questions. They were trained to take orders. And the order was to make it pain and suffering the most that you can dish out. To them, they didn't give it a second thought. He was just another man, another common criminal. They were just doing what they were told. But he was Jesus. He was the incarnate Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He was God in flesh. He was 100% man, but he was 100% God. I don't understand that. That don't add up. But that's exactly what he was. He was all man, and he was all of God. 100% man, 100% God. And in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It was him. John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That in itself is a miracle. Come robed in flesh from a virgin's womb. He was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. The wearer of that crown, the precious Son of God. He entered time. One that knew no time. Beholding the glory of the Father. He stepped in time, but he did it for us. He did it for us. So we see his person. Jesus, the Son of God. And next we see his power. To the Roman soldiers, he looked powerless. He looked weak. He was meek. Isaiah 53:7 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Right. I think about it. There's no way that I could take a beating like that without saying something, without trying to struggle or try to fight back. But no, he willingly gave himself to that. He opened not his mouth. There was no guile found in his mouth. Little did they know that all he had to do was to speak the word, or all he had to do was nod his head, and he could have called angels. He could have called 12 legions of angels. A legion is 6,000, somewhere around 6,000. So he had a nod of his head, a word. He could have called down 72,000 angels. And we know that in the Old Testament that one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. He could have done it. All he had to do was just nod his head. I believe them angels were they were at the ready. They hated to see him go through that, but he had to. He had to for us. He had to for you. What love! He did it all for us. It was all part of his sovereign plan. Acts 2:23 says, "Him," talking about Jesus, "being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God." Yeah. That was the way it was to be. But still, his power, he laid his power aside to go through that, to take the beating, to take the whipping, to take the mockery, to take the scorn. He laid it all aside to do that for us. For me, for you, the precious, sinless Son of God, no guile found in his mouth. None whatsoever. So we see the wearer of the crown. The wearer of the crown. Next, we're going to look at the weaving of the crown. In verse number 29 of Matthew 27, it says, "And when they had platted a crown of thorns," platted. Now it's hard for us to imagine this, but thorns. Thorns. There was no thorns in the Garden of Eden before sin. The roses didn't even have thorns on them. It was perfect. There was no sin. But in Genesis 3, verse number 17 and 18. Genesis 3, verse number, went to the wrong one. Genesis 3, 17 and 18. It says this, it says, "And unto Adam," now this is after the sin. This was after Eve listened to the serpent, and she was and she took of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, and Adam, he wasn't deceived.
Right.
He did it. He knew what he was doing when it said he took of the fruit. And so they sinned. They broke that covenant. In verse number 17 of chapter 3 of Genesis, it says, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Verse number 18 says, "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field." But before that time, there was no thorns. There was no thistles. It was perfect. Imagine going out and doing your gardening and trimming your rose bushes and not have to worry about thorns or anything. That's exactly how it was. But it says that after they had scourged Jesus, they platted a crown of thorns. Now these thorns, I don't know. I tried to look it up on Google, of course, but I tried to look it up, and they say there's several different type of thorns in Eastern. Over there in the east, and they said some of them were an inch thick. They said some of them were 2 inches thick, but it doesn't really matter. But I had Percy. We got some trees out on our farm, and man, they got some long thorns on them. And I don't know what kind of thorn this is, but I had him go get some, and it just let me think that's a long old thorn right there. And you can barely touch that right there, and it'll bring blood. It's sharp, and it says that these soldiers they platted a crown of thorns, and that word platted means to weave together. It means to go out and get some and to braid, and it's almost like plaiting your hair when you braid your hair. I mean, you kind of twist it together in a ponytail or doggy tail or whatever they call them, and you kind of braid your hair. That's exactly what they did with the crown of thorns.
Right.
They went out and they weaved it together. This wasn't something that they just found. This was something that out of the wickedness and depravity of man, they thought, what can we do to make him suffer even more? He just been scourged, and no doubt he was a bloody mess, like a pile of meat. But they said, what else can we do? Surely there's something else we can do. And they went out and they got a bunch of thorns, and they weaved them together just so they can inflict more pain on him. It's like this was done by sinful man with one purpose in mind, to make a mockery and inflict more pain on Jesus. What depravity, what wickedness. It's all because they hated Jesus. They hated him. They hated his claims. When he said, "I and my Father are one." Or when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Well, they got mad. The Bible says that they picked up stones, and they were ready to stone him. But he passed right through them, and they didn't even know it. It wasn't time. But they were so mad when he says, "Before Abraham." They were children of Abraham. And they said, how could you be 30 years old and say you're older than Abraham? They didn't have understanding. They couldn't understand it. But they hated his claims. Everything he said, they hated it. They hated his claims, but they hated his compassion. The way that he loved people, and the way that people loved him, the way that he would heal a leper, or the way that he would heal the lame, he would give sight to the blind. And after they did that, just like Legion, he saved Legion, and he made him a sound mind again. And when he did, Legion loved him. Legion wanted to go with him. All of them were like that. After Jesus passed by, they were never the same again, and they wanted to be with Him. They loved Him.
Yeah.
And it just burnt the religious crowd up. They couldn't take it. They hated His claims. They hated His compassion. The way that He talked to the rich young ruler. The way that he told the rich young ruler. He gave him the terms. He said, this is what it's going to take. And it says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he turned around and walked away. It was too hard for him. He loved him the way in Luke 15. I think we dealt with that last week. But in Luke 15, verse number 2, it says, this man receiveth sinners and he eats with them. They hated him. They hated him. They hated everything about him. They wanted to get rid of him. He was taking their money. He was taking their time. He was taking their attention. They didn't like it. They wanted to get rid of him. Jesus loved the people, and the people loved him. So instead, when he was crucified, instead of giving him a crown of rubies and diamonds and pearls and gold, all they gave him was a crown of thorns.
Right.
They hated him. They hated everything about him. Thorns are a type of sin. I just read to you there in Genesis where after sin, he cursed the ground. He said thorns and thistles are gonna grow. It's a type of sin. And in Matthew 13, when Jesus talked about the parable of the soils, he talked about thorns, and he talked about the thorns in Matthew 13, verse number 7. He said this. He said, and some, talking about the seed, and verse number 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. And then verse number 22, when he gave the meaning of it, in verse number 22, he said, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. It's a type of sin. It's a type of the world. And when I think about the crown of thorns, I think about the men, his creatures that he created, used his creation, the thorn, to mock and punish the Creator. Me and Vicki used to sing a song that says, he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. When he made it, he knew that tree right there, that's going to be the one that I'm going to die upon. He knew it, but yet he let it grow. He grew the tree he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. He made it all. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Right.
That crown of thorns they put on him, he made those thorns.
Sure did.
He made it, but yet he allowed it, because he knew, looking down through time, he knew there would come a time when he would wear those thorns on his head. He knew there would be a time when he would be crucified on that tree. But yet that's His goodness and His love towards us, that He still allowed it to be created. And He did. He loves you. When I was thinking about this, I got to thinking in Genesis 22. And of course, that's where God talked to Abraham. And He said, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac.
Right.
And verse number in Genesis 22 and verse number 7, they were on their way, and they were at the foot of the mountain, their Mount Moriah, and Isaac, he wasn't a baby, he wasn't 7 or 8 years old, he was a young man, he was probably 18 to 22 years. I mean, he could have whooped his daddy, he could have said, I ain't a going, but he was obedient and he went. And verse number 7, Isaac said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He's asking his daddy. They had been sacrificing before, and he knew what they needed. And he said, "I see the wood and I see the fire, but I don't see the offering anywhere." Verse number 8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And Abraham, he laid his boy down and he strapped him down so that he wouldn't fight him when he was struggling. And Abraham went over there and he drew back that knife and I believe he was getting ready to let her go. And he heard a voice from heaven that said, "Abraham, Abraham." Yeah. He said, "Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand on thy son Isaac." And verse number 13 said, "Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns." Mm-hmm. Thicket is nothing more than a woven bunch of thorns and thistles. That's all it is. And it said that ram was hung in his horns, in his head. Abraham sacrificed that ram as a substitute for his son Isaac.
That's right.
And John 8:56, when Jesus was talking up there about Abraham, when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am," he said this. He said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad."
That's right.
He saw that ram getting caught in that thicket, in that woven mess of thorns and thistles caught up in his head. He took that ram out, slit its throat, killed it, laid it on the altar. In place of his son. In place of his son. So we see the wearer of the crown. We see the weaving of the crown. Then we see the wounding of the crown. That crown of thorns. In verse number 29 it says, "When they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head." Now that word "put" there in the Greek means to impose or place with hostility. They didn't just set it on his head. They didn't do that. I believe they got up on him and they mashed that thing down as hard as they could.
Yeah.
And them thorns, I don't know if they were that long or not, but that right there, that right there would do some damage.
Yeah,
they put it on his head. They forcefully dug into his brow. The temple, one of the most sensitive places on your body. I've heard of people getting hit by a baseball bat in the temple and dying. That's a sensitive place right there. But they put that crown on it, and they really dug it in. Verse number 30 says that they took the reed. They had given him a little reed because they were mocking him. They said, "Oh, every king needs a scepter," and they give him a little reed. The Bible says in verse number 30, it says, "And they spit upon him, and they took the reed, and they smote him on the head." That verb there, "smote," doesn't mean they just done it one time. They just boom, boom, boom. And I believe they hit the crown, just pushing it further, further, and further in his head. And then after two or three strokes, they might have passed it to the next guy. The next guy might have tried to hit it a couple times. Then they passed it to the next guy. There were 600. I don't know how many hit him. But that word "smoke" doesn't just mean one time. It doesn't mean that. They all took their turn with him. They hated him. They hated him. John 19, which is the synoptic here, the verse number 3 of John 19, says they smote him with their hands. Not only with the reed, but I believe they just, I can't wait my turn. I hate him so much, I'm going to just double up my fist and I'm going to hit him with my hands. They hated him. Isaiah 50, verse number 6, says this. He said, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair." They just got so mad, they were tearing him to pieces. Isaiah 52:14, "His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." These pictures that you see where he's got one little drop here, one little drop there, and he kind of, like he's just a little uncomfortable. That's nothing more than a mockery.
That's right.
They're just making fun of that. That's just another form of mockery, making fun of him. We couldn't, if we could somehow see what he looked like, we couldn't handle it.
That's right.
We would, if we saw what he really looked like, we'd have to probably throw up. It would make us sick. It would make us sick. We couldn't handle seeing a true depiction of what he looked like. But yet through it all, he did all of that for us, for me. Make it personal. He did it for me. He did it for you.
Yeah.
All of that. He went through it all. He didn't, no matter how much it hurt, no matter the pain and suffering, he didn't call the angels. He didn't say, "That's it. Lord, Father, get me out of here. He didn't do that. He went all the way for us. He went all the way. After that, they led him to Calvary. Here we read where they had him to bear his own cross. And a man named a Cyrene named Simon helped bear his cross. And they took him up to Calvary where he was crucified. And how he was buried. And then how he rose again the third day. All of that. But the wounding of the crown, that was just part of it. That was just kind of what's been on my mind, but all of that, the whole thing, He did all of that for us. If we could only get a picture of what He went through for us, it would change our minds. It would change our attitudes. We would fall in love with Him, as Brother Pascal said this morning. If we could just get a glimpse and a reality of what all He went through. To buy our pardon. Yeah. So we see the wearer of the crown. We see the weaving of the crown. We see the wounding of the crown. But then lastly, this morning, we'll see the warning of the crown. Now these soldiers, they give him this crown of thorns, and they mocked him and they ridiculed him, and they even took a knee and they said, "Hail Jesus, King of the Jews." They made a mockery out of him. They thought it was funny. They hit him with the reed and they spit upon him. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day. I don't know how long it's going to be, but there's coming a day in Acts chapter 2, verse number 11, when he left, they said, "This same Jesus."
That's right.
Not another one. This same Jesus that left, He's coming again. He's coming again in like manner. He's going to come. And Matthew 25:31 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory." There's a warning there. They were making fun of Him then, but there's a coming a day when He's going to take His rightful place, and He's going to sit on that throne. Revelation 14:14 said, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on His head a golden crown, and in His hand a sharp sickle." He one crown. Then we see in Revelation 19, verse number 11 through 16.
Yep.
Revelation 19, verse number 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." What a name. "Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns." Many crowns, "and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." You say, "I don't know how to ride a horse." You will that day.
That's right.
You will that day.
Amen.
You'll know how to ride a horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of his fierceness and of wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords."
That's right.
Say that first verse, he had one crown. In the Revelation 19, he had many crowns. He had many crowns.
Yep.
Well, Paul, writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, he says, "I fought a good fight." He says, "I finished the faith." He says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith." Next verse, he says, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." I believe we're going to get up there and He's going to give us crowns for our rewards, for doing things. And the beast in Revelation 4, they cast everything back at His feet. And I believe we're going to follow suit and we're going to cast our crowns back at His feet.
That's right.
He's going to come down with many crowns on His head. And I don't know, I'll take a little bit of liberty here, but I believe we'll all say, hey, you see that right there? That's the one I threw back at his feet. That's the one right there that I threw back at his feet. That one's mine. And we, who in a sense helped weave that crown of thorns, one day we'll cast our crown at his feet.
That's right.
And say, he's King of kings and Lord of lords. All because of all he's done. We might look and say, it was a hard way to go. There was times I was going through storms. I didn't think I was going to make it. Nobody liked me. And I was, as Brother Price would say, I was struggling and striving and strutting and straining.
That's fine.
But I kept with it. I didn't quit. I kept with it. And I stayed in that road of light, and I kept seeking, and I was a true seeker, and I kept on, and I made it through, and it was worth it all. Because you see that crown right there? That's the one I threw back at his feet.
Right.
It was not a crown of thorns. Those soldiers, they were putting that crown of thorns on him as a mockery. But there's coming a day when he's going to have his crown. He's going to be crowned King of kings and Lord of lords.
Right.
So, the crown of thorns. We've looked at the wearer of the crown. We've looked at the weaving of the crown. We've looked at the wounding. If we had a real depiction, we couldn't handle it.
That's right.
About what he really looked like.
That's right.
And then we saw the warning of the crown. One day he's going to come back and he'll take his rightful place and he'll have that crown. It won't be a crown of thorns. It'll be a golden crown. It'll be the prettiest crown you've ever seen. All because of what he went through for us. So as we close talking about the crown of thorns, I guess the question is the same one that he asked in Matthew 22, verse number 42. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Those soldiers just thought he was another criminal. The perfect, sinless Son of God that had done no sin. They thought he was just another criminal. They didn't think nothing about him. They mocked him and they scorned him. He was just another man. Do we love him this morning? Do you love him all you can? I know you don't know perfect love and we'll never be able to know perfect love, but do you love him all you can? Do your actions show it, or do we spit in the did it spit in his face like those soldiers did?
Yes.
You know, I got to thinking, and you know, any time I choose something over God, in a sense, I'm spitting in his face.
That's right.
I mean, I'm just basically saying, you ain't worth it. This over here is more important. Do your actions show it? Do you love him? Do you love him all you can? Do you love him with all you have? And I know you can't. Your heart tricks you sometimes. You think you really, really, really love him, and that you're in love with him, and then something comes up, and you choose that over Christ. I know that. I'm in the same boat. But do you love him with all that you know how? Do you love him? Do you appreciate him for wearing that thorn of crowns on his head? I heard this story, and of course you know how stories are, but I heard this story back years ago, and I hope I get it right, but I heard about this single mother. She lived in New York, and Lord help her for living in New York. But anyway, she lived in New York City, and her house, while she was asleep, her house caught on fire, and smoke alarms and everything started going off, and like I said, she was a single mom. She had a baby there in the crib, and the smoke alarm went off, and between her and the baby's room, there was a wall of fire, and mama's heart, she ran right through that fire, went in there. The baby was gooing and gawing, and she was perfectly fine. She took the baby and she went out the window, and in the process of getting the baby, the mom, of course, she had to run through the fire, and she had burn marks all over her hands and all over her face, and she never looked the same, but she never told the daughter what she went through, and her daughter grew up to be a beautiful young girl, and And when it was time for her to graduate, they were taking graduation pictures, and her mom walked by, and the daughter was in a group with some other girls, and they looked and they said, "Ooh, who's that?" And the girl said, "I don't know who that is. I don't know. I don't know who it is." She was ashamed of her. She said, "I don't know who that is." And the mom heard it. They got home that night, and the mom said, "Daughter, come here. I need to tell you something." She said, "I've never told you this before because I didn't want you to feel bad. But," she said, "when you were a baby, our house caught on fire, and I had to run through flames to keep you safe." And she said, it marred me for life. She said, "I've got burn marks all over my hands. I've got them all over my face. But I never told you that before because I didn't want you to feel sorry for me. So tonight, when you said that you didn't know me and that you were ashamed of me, I just wanted you to know that I went through all that for you."
Amen.
Her daughter looked at her arms and kissed her arms, looked at her face and kissed her face, and she said, "Mama, could you ever forgive me for being ashamed of you?
Yep.
Could you ever forgive me? I didn't know none of that. Could you forgive me, Mama? I love you for what you went through for me."
And so
they ended up making up. But when I heard that story, I thought about this crown of thorns and the beating that he took.
And it
made me say, may I never be ashamed.
Grant it, Lord. Grant it.
Of Christ and what he did. Because he done it for us. He done it for me. He done it for you. Should we never be scared to mention his name? May we never be ashamed of him. Because of what he went through for us. For what he went through for us. I'm thinking about a verse here in 1 Peter, and I'll close with this. 1 Peter 3, I think it's verse number... Yeah, 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit."
Amen.
The just for the unjust. He went through it all for me. He went through it all for you. Had it just been for you, he would have still done it all.
That's right.
That's how much he loves you.
Right.
Could we just get a taste of the reality of what he went through and how much he loves us? And then may we never be ashamed to speak his name or to pray in a restaurant or anything like that because of what he went through.
Lord, help us.
For us.
Lord, help us.
The crown of thorns.
Lord, God.
Lord, I thank you for the day. I thank you for the blessings. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, what you went through. I can't even fathom it. Lord, these pictures, Lord, that we see, it's just nothing more than more of a mockery, Lord, of just saying that you didn't go through anything for us. But, Lord, you did. And Lord, your visage was so marred, more than any man. Oh, Lord, I can't even fathom it, Lord, but I thank you. All that's in me, Lord, I thank you for, Lord, what you went through there on that cross. And Lord, may it be more of a reality. May you just, Lord, just let us have a glimpse of what you went through, Lord, to buy our pardon, to ransom us. Lord, wicked and depraved though we be, Lord, you still went through all that for us. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you. Can't even begin to thank you enough for all you went through for us. So, Lord, just go with us now. Help us. Help us to, Lord, realize it more and more. May it become a reality in the days to come that you do love us that much. So, Lord, I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I got this song here. Desi, you don't have to come. We'll just do it a cappella. But let's all stand and turn to number 398. It's a...